This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I asked a few people recently if you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be? The first person I asked said, who will win the Grand National this year? The next person, who was unaware of what the first person had said, answered just as flippantly, I would ask him to tell me what numbers to write down to win the EuroMillions lottery. The third, an 8-year-old child, said he would ask, why did God choose Jesus to do magical things and no one else? The fourth one said they would want to know, when was he going to come again? I wonder what you would ask him if you could have this face-to-face meeting with him. I'll be asking that question again later, so have a think about it. Our gospel reading today is John chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. In it, Nicodemus, a respected teacher and member of the ruling class in Jerusalem, has important questions to ask Jesus, and so he visits him by night. It seems that Nicodemus is breaking free from what he ought to think and believe, and from what he is expected to think and believe, breaking free from the pressures and responsibilities that come with leadership, to come before Jesus with an open mind. It's not wrong to ask questions. He is searching for the truth. But first, a song. Those of you who watched the Gospel Choir of the Year 2023 finals recently would have heard West End star Rachel John and all the finalists sing a great song called Shackles. It was all about breaking free from life's pressures and all things which keep us bound. Rather like Nicodemus, really.
Of my mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. 'Cause you see, I have been down for so long, feel like all hope is gone. But as I lift my hands, I understand that I should praise you through my circumstance.
Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance.
I can dance.
Yeah. I just wanna praise you.
Just wanna praise you.
I just wanna praise you.
Just wanna praise you. Go wrong, all went wrong at one time. So much pressure fell on me. Thought I was gonna lose my mind. Lord, I know you wanna see if I will hold on through these trials, but I need you to lift this load, 'cause I can't take it no more.
So I can dance.
I can dance.
I just wanna praise you.
Just wanna praise you.
When asked to pass his best advice on for future generations, Heston Blumenthal, the famous chef, said, question everything. If you don't question things, there's no knowledge, there's no learning, no creativity, no freedom of choice, no imagination. And he's right. It's what we tell our own children and grandchildren to do, isn't it? Nicodemus was a member of an elite ruling body called the Sanhedrin, which was made up of 70 elders. They were, in effect, the Jewish high court and police system of the day. These men were top theologians, dedicated to keeping every letter of the law. So it can't have been easy for Nicodemus to visit such a controversial preacher and teacher as Jesus, who was already being looked upon with suspicion by his peers. After all, Jesus was fairly new to the scene, but already having such a powerful impact on people. But the questions that Nicodemus clearly wanted answers to were not meant for the daylight hours when others could be listening in or passing judgments or criticizing him for approaching Jesus in the first place. And of course, he may have wanted Jesus to speak freely and openly with no other witnesses around. Here's Steve Metcalf and Minor Technicality singing a wonderful song, Say Goodbye to Uncertainty.
For too long now, I've been staring at the ground, I'm trying to dig myself a hole. Now I can see there's a path in front of me, and I know that's where I'm gonna go. Say goodbye to those nights when I would cry, say goodbye to the reason why. For I know now just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty. When I was young, I thought life was just for fun, and the world was just another place to go. Now I can see that that's not reality. We only have one chance to throw. So say goodbye to those nights when I would cry, say goodbye to the reason why. For I know now just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty. Times when I was all alone, now I can see through the tears. I used to lie awake in nightmares of broken dreams.
So let's listen to that story from John 3, 1 to 18. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Nicodemus realized that the way to discover the truth about Jesus was to go right to the source and discern for himself what he was saying. But after hearing what Jesus had to say, I suspect there was no turning back for him after this up-close and personal encounter. Here's a short medley by a group called Anthem Lights.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Jesus must have puzzled Nicodemus by saying, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I heard a street preacher on Keswick High Street a couple of years ago. I may have told you this before, but he was almost finished speaking when I sensed, out of the corner of my eye, one of his assistants sidling up to me with a pamphlet in his hand. He smiled at me and asked me, "Are you a Christian?" To let him know I was one of the flock, I replied with a smile, "Yes, I am," I said. But seemingly my answer didn't satisfy him. He leaned in closer and with a smile on his face asked, "Oh yes, but are you born again?" He was really asking me if my faith was genuine. Was it alive? Was the Spirit of Jesus living in me? But you know, he said it in such a smug way, I felt really irritated with him. Perhaps it was because I too had made similar judgments in the past as to whether some Christians were really fired up or just going through the motions. I'm actually ashamed to confess that. But I think if Jesus had said such words in the same smug fashion, Nicodemus might well have felt irritated and annoyed too. But when Jesus said to him, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," I really do feel that he said this out of love, not judgment. You know, wanting Nicodemus to have the best of what God had to offer. So here was Nicodemus, a man who was devout, very well educated, circumcised according to the law, an Orthodox Jew, a leading rabbi, a religious professional, a member of the ruling council, the aristocracy, really. There could be few, very few others with credentials as impressive as this. If anyone had a right to enter God's kingdom, he should have had. And yet, here was Jesus telling him that he had to be born again from above to encounter a spiritual birth, and that this was far more important than physical birth or background. It must have felt like a carpet was being pulled out from under his feet. Nicodemus's life was being turned inside out by this secret encounter with Jesus, and his life would never be the same again. Here's a song called Inside Out, written and sung by one of my close friends, Margaret Scott, and it's on the Best of United Folk album.
You came for hurting people with hurting lives, smiles on faces and pain inside. You call us to you and take our lives, then you give them back inside us. You warned it wasn't easy, it never is. Dreams get damaged, our strength gives. We call to you and claim your promises, 'cause you take.
Admire someone like Nicodemus. This expert was willing to come to grips with a teaching that was not of his old established line of thought, and perhaps alien to it, but he desperately needed to make his own mind up, draw his own conclusions. Not many people possess that kind of courage. And I suspect that because he knew the scriptures well, it may already have dawned upon him that ancient prophecies about the coming Messiah were being fulfilled in Jesus' life and ministry. He taught in parables. He was ministering to the poor. He was healing the sick and driving out demons. Nicodemus reasoned that all this must come from God and not from the devil, as some were suggesting. He was impressed by Jesus, but he needed to know from his own lips who he was and what he had come to do and when. As they spoke together, Jesus said to him, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Here Jesus had referred to a very strange incident from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, that happened during the exodus of the Hebrew slaves across the desert, hundreds of years before. When they had sinned, they'd been besieged by a plague of venomous snakes, And that's when God had commanded Moses to erect a bronze statue of a snake in camp, so that those who looked upon it would be healed. So was Jesus suggesting that by looking towards him when he was lifted up, humankind would be saved, that even Nicodemus could be saved? Nicodemus needed answers once and for all. Was Jesus indeed the Messiah, or was he not? Would his teaching set his life firmly on a rock, or lure him into sinking sand? And if Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Messiah, what would be the consequences of rejecting him?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
That was Sovereign Music there, singing "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." Jesus spoke the following words, words which are now famous the world over. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus could not have been clearer than this. Did these words convince Nicodemus of Jesus' true identity? God gave his one and only Son. It appears that Nicodemus did indeed become reborn, because later in John's Gospel, chapter 7, we read that he defended Jesus against accusations made by the council of Jewish elders. And not only that, in John chapter 19, Nicodemus is bold enough to join forces with a secret believer called Joseph of Arimathea, and they both carefully wrapped Jesus' dead body in cloth and took him away for burial. Joseph provided his own tomb for him, and Nicodemus provided at least 3 to 4 kilograms of myrrh and aloes. And they did this openly before darkness fell, in daylight this time, not night. Each time we pray or read scripture, it's possible to encounter Jesus. We are renewed and we are able to move deeper into his love and his ways. So let's just be still for a moment, wherever we are, and just imagine it's nighttime. And we're approaching a table where Jesus is sitting, waiting to talk with us. He looks straight at us. What kind of greeting does he give? What does he say to us? Now bring to mind your own question and simply listen. Just wait upon him. Listen out for his answer, perhaps as we hear our final song, an oratorio entitled God So Loved the World, composed by John Stainer in 1887 and sung here by the Tabernacle Choir. May God's peace and healing be yours this day, and may he supply answers to questions you've wanted answers to for a long time now. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Ooh.